Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menash. On today's show, we're taking another look at the world of energy and some of the disruptions that could result in major, both economic and geopolitical disruption, far beyond the turbulence our world is currently facing. Today's show is partly about unintended consequences. Let's start with the Panama Canal. It's experiencing water shortages, and many vessels have had to avoid the Panama Canal. The Canal Authority has been implementing various measures due to the prolonged dry season and insufficient precipitation in the canal watershed. The PCA reduced the daily transit capacity to about 32 vessels a day since July of 2023. More recently, the Canal Authority announced new limits that have led to fewer than 24 passengers a day in November and December, and as of February 1st, until further notice, the number of booking slots is going to be reduced to 18 passengers a day. As a result, several shipping companies have rerouted their trips from Asia through the Suez Canal, and that's putting more pressure on that waterway than ever before. The Suez Canal is by far the most important waterway in the world. We all know about the conflict between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. The Houthi rebels in Yemen are now attacking shipping in the Red Sea, which is the entrance to the Suez Canal. The pressure on this shipping channel also increased significantly since Russia invaded the Ukraine 2 years ago. It's now an additional 1.4 million barrels of oil per day coming from Russia that is now transiting the Suez Canal in the direction of Asia. That oil would have been coming to Europe from Russia, but it's now coming by ship through the Red Sea and the Suez Canal. There's also an additional 2 million barrels of oil per day heading north through the Suez Canal that's in the direction of Europe. The Suez Canal is shallow, and the largest supertankers can only transit through the canal at about 50% of their rated load. Most supertankers will have to offload their cargoes at ports in the Red Sea, which will then ship the crude oil via pipeline to the Mediterranean, where they're loaded onto smaller carriers and sent all over Europe. European dependence on Russian gas has been reduced to about 17% of the continent's consumption. The shortfall is being made up by gas coming from Norway, Qatar, and the United States. The LNG coming from Qatar has been transiting through the Suez Canal as well to reach Europe. With the increased risk to global shipping through the Red Sea, we now have 75% of the ships that would have used the Suez Canal now taking the long way around the Cape of Good Hope, which adds about 10 days to the journey in each direction. The impact of these delays is the same as taking capacity out of the global shipping system. That affects container shipping and energy shipments alike. Saudi Arabia does have a land-based pipeline that runs from eastern Saudi Arabia to the Yanbu oil terminal on Saudi Arabia's Red Sea coast. That allows the majority of Saudi oil to avoid the trouble spots around the Gulf of Aden and the coast of Yemen. The constraint on global liquefied natural gas supply is a combination of both liquefaction capacity and the number of ships. The biggest risk to energy markets and global stability, in fact, is in Egypt. Egypt derives most of its foreign currency from the Suez Canal, and the country is already in bad shape economically. It's been struggling with inflation for years. The annual inflation rate in Egypt right now is 33.7% in December. That's down from a six-month average of 34.6%, slightly above market expectations. And it remains significantly above the upper limit set by the central bank's target range of 5% to 9%. And we're used to hearing about a 2% target. In my opinion, the government would likely get voted out of office with a 9% inflation rate, but in Egypt, they would dream to have a 9% inflation rate. The employment rate is also stuck around 7%, which is also very high. Sources I'm speaking with are telling me that the country is in fact on the verge of economic collapse. Now, I want you to look at this situation from the perspective of someone living maybe in Cairo or Alexandria. You've got war going on in the west, in Libya, then you've got a war going on in the south in Sudan. Now you have a war going on in the north in Gaza. And you've got traffic down 75% in the Suez Canal, threatening your country's primary source of foreign exchange reserves. And on top of that, you've got years of inflation bordering on hyperinflation. The ramifications of instability in Egypt should be obvious. The Suez Canal is the most important waterway in the world. This perspective, frankly, is not getting any airplay in the mainstream media because, well, there's no shots being fired in Egypt. I don't think anyone in a decision-making position in Washington is paying very close attention to this. Now, the United States exports about 10% of its natural production of natural gas, and that consumes 100% of the nation's liquefaction capacity. Well, this past week, the Biden administration put a ban on new LNG licenses that will immediately affect four major planned LNG expansions along the Gulf Coast. Expansions were planned at Venture Global, at Sempra, Magnolia, and Commonwealth. All of these are now on hold. There is only one planned liquefaction facility that is sitting on an existing license, and that's the Driftwood facility, which is currently under construction, but it's on a slow path to construction. They're still raising equity for that project. The main impact of eliminating LNG growth in the U.S. is to keep a glut of natural gas in the U.S., which results in a massive price difference between U.S. domestic price and the world price for natural gas. It's also forcing Europe to buy Russian gas instead of U.S. gas. The current price for natural gas does not encourage drilling wells for gas. That gas is either recovered in pipelines or brought to market, or it's flared off at the wellhead if the infrastructure doesn't exist. Well, much of the natural gas produced in the U.S. is associated gas that comes from oil wells. In fact, the gas in those wells usually increases as a percentage as a well gets later into its life cycle. The two major consequences of this current situation are, number one, the destabilization of Egypt, and the protection of Russia's position as a supplier to Europe. And neither of these consequences are getting global attention. I believe that the economic stability of the world is being threatened by these two factors. As you think about that, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.